Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Everyone, welcome back to the Nuance Needed podcast. I'm Amanda.
And I'm Sam.
And we are here doing an in-person.
In-person.
So if the audio is not great, that's why.
You don't want to know what we just went through to get
this
done.
It's funny because we're recording, so we're making eye contact through the screen right now.
Because we're not
I'm behind
to
you. I'm like perched over your shoulder.
Hold on. There we go. Okay. I think that's a little bit better.
Maybe I should move. This is why people do individual cameras to people in person. But now I'm not.
Now you're completely out of the frame. You can move close.
I like need to not look at the.
No.
I keep looking at the video of us because I'm so used to talking.
I think we just need
video.
To look at each other. All the cool kids just look at each other.
This is deep eye contact.
This is getting to know each other on a very personal level.
Well, because we're really close.
We're very close.
My knee is touching your foot.
Right now, our knees are probably like 3 inches apart. So I'm essentially facing her. But we had some technical difficulties that brought us together.
Yes. It took me 2 hours to get to your house.
I'm sorry. Okay. And I bought a car today.
And then it took us over an hour.
It took us over an hour to figure this out. So
5:41. We were supposed to go to dinner, but
we'll get there. We will get to dinner, but we have some very important things that we want to chat about today that we've both been very triggered by.
Yes.
And that is skinny talk.
I can't believe you got this served organically, though. I bet you I would have been a day later because it seems like it is getting
– It's getting bigger. Yeah.
Maybe because of Remy Bader and
mm-hmm. – And Lizzo.
Lizzo
is starting a conversation with us because Lizzo has lost a ton of weight. Dear listener, let's set this up for you a little bit better. So the backstory is I was just on TikTok like one does, and I was served a video that it kind of confused me at first because sometimes I will get – the occasional like fitness video because I do like working out. I do like lifting weights. And there are a couple content creators that I follow for that. And they're very healthy. They're very conscious about the content that they post. The stuff that I see is typically strictly about like working out and that's about it. And I do follow some – well, actually, I follow quite a few like food and cooking content creators.
You're a great cook. And you like to cook.
Thank you. I do like to cook. So I think – the algorithm kind of assumed that because of those two things, I would potentially be interested in eating disorder content. Yeah. So anyway, so I see this video and it is this woman who is talking about how happy she is to now be skinny.
Was the first one that you were served?
It's a girl with the black hair.
Black hair. Okay.
Yeah. And she is going off on a rampage of how much better her life is, how much more happy she is. How it's just flat out better and nobody can tell the difference.
Her name is Ashley.
And she's so grateful that she found Skinny Talk because it helped her be thin.
Yeah.
And I saw it and I was like, oh, no. Because the amount of likes and the amount of comments with everybody being like, I love Skinny Talk. I keep commenting.
Some people are saying this is the best thing that's ever happened
literally
to TikTok.
Dear God. I started sending stuff to Amanda and we both independently went on a little bit of a journey and a rabbit
hole. Well, I also, people got mad at us that they felt like we didn't do a deep enough dive on Mel Robbins' comments. So I went through and got receipts.
We have receipts this time, and we have background. And before we even get into it, there is something that I really want to lead with as well. This is not a conversation saying that health is not a real thing.
Yes.
There are absolutely times and places where weight loss is important. Weight loss can be beneficial to your health. There are things to be said about the type of food that you put into your body. There are things to be said about the importance of nutrients and vitamins and caloric intake. There is truth about the importance of movement and how it helps your body. None of this is saying if you yourself individually are needing to go on a particular health journey, that is bad.
Yeah.
Or you should not do that. Our frustration is with content that is glorifying
eating disorders
and disordered eating and telling you it's healthy. That is our problem. And much of the Skinny Talk content is that. And the reason you can tell the difference is because when someone is just telling you, hey, here's this really great salad recipe that I've made that has protein, that's loaded with veggies, that has a dressing, that has some nuts on it. Like, it is nutrient dense. It is good for you. It is filling.
Yep.
Fine. When someone says, knock the fork out of your mouth because moment on the lips, a lifetime on the hips, or nothing
tastes as good as Skinny feels, which I cannot believe is back.
Is coming back. Okay. That is where that is a dog whistle for enjoying and embracing disordered eating. And that type of content is where we were really shocked to see that is all Skinny Talk is.
Yeah. I mean, and what I can say too is, right, so I'm in recovery from an eating disorder. I've talked a lot about how I was like very bulimic growing up for a really long time. Mm-hmm. I specialize in eating disorders in my clinical work in addition to substance use. And I think one of the biggest frustrations also is that I think the people, because what I've, this is so complicated, but I think one of the big things that I'm frustrated with too is people are saying like, the body positivity movement is awful, or intuitive eating is awful, and they are not saying what it actually is.
Right.
Like, they act as though health at every size or intuitive eating or healing your relationship with food means that you can never eat a salad again, or you can't care about your health, or you can't – what intuitive eating and health at every size is saying is just that weight is one indicator of health.
Mm-hmm.
It is not the only indicator of health.
Correct.
And long-term, like, purposeful dieting, which includes restriction, is not sustainable. We know that 95% of people who lose weight, and I'm interested in how that changes with GLP-1s and stuff like that, doesn't stay, because you're entering into essentially your body thinks it's a famine and your body fights against those natural things that happen. But again, we're not saying, like, I want to be super clear too. Like, if you're on GLP-1s, if you want to go on GLP-1s, I believe in body autonomy across the board.
Amen.
And you can do whatever you want. And I 100% support you. And if us talking about Skinny Talk, if you love Skinny Talk, this is probably not the episode for you.
Yeah.
And that's okay. I very biasedly see this from an eating disorder lens, because I very much see it from how my clients will see it and how I would see it if I wasn't in recovery. And I'm very frustrated by people taking concepts like intuitive eating or health at every size and bastardizing them, misquoting them, and then saying, like, I'm against this, when you don't actually know what you're talking about.
There's also like a gaslighting going on of telling people that everything that they've learned about in the last 15 years, I would say, where the body positivity movement really took off and intuitive eating became much more of a common term.
Yep.
And it is a tool for how you reframe and understand your relationship to food. Yeah. And there was another creator that said something along the lines of, well, you can't have a relationship with food because food is an inanimate object. That is not true.
You can have a relationship with anything.
You can have a relationship with anything. That's how addiction starts. You get into a toxic relationship with a thing where you feel that you need the thing to function. You are dependent on the existence of that thing. Yeah. And for me, with my, you know, now 13, almost 14 years of clinical experience and working in these industries and having clients right now that are in active recovery and we're working on that, it was so frightening to see these videos and to see people saying, like, the body positivity movement lied to us.
Yes.
They kept us fat. Like, being skinny is better. And the question that comes to my mind, mm-hmm. when someone is fawning over the fact that they are quote unquote skinny, the question that I always follow that up with is, well, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. When is it enough?
Correct.
And the problem with that is it is the slipperiest slope ever into self-hate and self-loathing, because no matter what you do, you will have a body that has size to it.
You will also have a body that changes.
Yes.
Like, unfortunately, even if you restrict yourself and keep eating less and less and less so you can maintain the exact body weight that you've had, and God forbid you're so lucky that you don't, you know, have an injury or have something happen, also
pregnancy,
any of that. We all age. We all, our muscle tone changes.
Yep.
Our skin sags. Things change. And it is a horrible place to put your happiness and contentment mm-hmm. on how you look as your main driver for your self-worth. The best thing that I ever did for my mental health was start saying that my body was the least interesting thing about myself.
Was that a big part of your recovery?
It was huge. Like, how I look is, like, it can be fun. It can be an expression of getting dressed or putting on makeup or whatever. But I am so much more than my body. I am. I want to be remembered for my ideas, for what I care about, for what I think, all of those things. Rather than, it made me so sad seeing these girls, you know, talking about how happy they were and how fulfilled they were in life. To me, I'm like, your life, this is mean, but like, your life is really small then.
Yeah.
Or you're putting, you know, some of them are moms, like, you're putting so much into how you look. And like, we just don't, we're not, skinny talk doesn't talk about, and eating disorders don't talk about how much you lose when you're actively in an eating disorder. When you're, yes, it might be exciting and fun and you get a high from losing weight and feeling great and putting on new clothes and being, you know, they were talking about how fun it is to get dressed. And like, yeah, that's, that all is like a high component of it. And again, like, if you're doing it in a way that isn't totally restricting your life, and you just change your body and you look different, like, great. Or you go on a health journey like we were talking about. We're not saying it's bad to have any joy in how you look or self-expression.
Right. Or take care of yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But when that is the main thing in your life, I'm concerned about what happens when your body inevitably changes, because we are all aging.
Gonna change.
We're all, yeah.
We're constantly changing, and there's nothing to be done about that. And I think, to like kind of like summarize what you just said too, we are global in our personhood.
Yes.
Meaning we are made up of so many different parts and so many different elements. And just like you were saying, like, our interests, our motivations, our goals, our life, our relationships, all of that in addition to your body.
Yeah.
And so if all you are doing is honing in on this idea of, I need to be thin, I need to be skinny, everything I need to do needs to be in pursuit of maintaining that, the level of space that that has to take up in your brain, there's no room for anything else. Because if your friends invite you out to dinner, you're now afraid of the restaurant that they've chosen because you're afraid of what you're going to put in your body while you're there.
Yeah.
You are terrified of not having access to the foods that will quote unquote keep you thin.
Yeah.
It impacts how you grocery shop or where you grocery shop or how often you grocery shop. It impacts your space at work, because now like you don't want to just go out to yeah. lunch at work because, well, I brought something from home.
Yeah.
And so, and again, like, there is a time and a place where these conversations could be had, and maybe quote unquote, okay, yeah, like to take care of yourself, you do have to do those things sometimes.
Yeah, fine. Or you want to like that. And that's where they're like bastardizing yes. what it means to take care of yourself. Like, absolutely. There's real truth to, if you don't eat enough protein, if you don't eat enough, you know, carbs, if you don't eat enough fat, if you don't eat enough fiber, like you're not going to feel as good.
Right.
And when that is like your main driver is making sure you meet all of that very strictly, you then miss out on there is a real component of food is joy, food is yeah. connection, food is fun, yeah. food brings people together. Like, that is also a valid part of life too. And I think what I always come back to is when your mental health is suffering for your pursuit of physical health, it's not healthy anymore.
Right.
When your obsession with looking a certain way or staying a certain weight, being a certain number on the scale, fitting into certain clothes impacts your mental health, it's no longer healthy anymore.
And I'm going to tell you something right now. If you don't like who you are at 200 pounds, you are not going to like who you are at 115 pounds. Sure, you might like the clothes that you wear better. You might somewhat like the version of yourself that you're seeing in the mirror better. You might feel sexier. You might feel more desirable, what have you, which let's talk about decentering men
yeah.
for maybe 10 minutes. However, all of those things, if you don't like yourself in those moments, you're not – those things that you don't like about yourself are not going to magically evaporate.
Yeah.
And also, shocker, going back to the fact that like your body continually changes and is shifting all the time, you will still find something at that weight that you don't like. It's so painful to see all of this coming back because all of it is so shame-based too. It's yeah. these women that are like talking down to you and yelling at you, and there's nothing uplifting about it. And in the way they deliver it, they're almost angry. Yeah. Like, they're angry at their past self, or telling you to be angry about who you are right now. And there's all these people in the comments saying like, oh my God, commenting to stay on here. Yeah. Yes. Like, I have to do this. Oh my God. And it devastates me, the damage that is being redone. Mm-hmm. After so much work that so many people have put in to combating this type of language and to allowing people to make choices for themselves, not from a place to say the only way you can do this right is if you end up looking a certain way. Because I've started like past like 2-3 years, I've been on a workout journey for yeah. sure. And I really wanted to, I had always had really poor endurance, yeah. like cardio endurance. And I wanted to work on that, and I did. Yeah. And I love lifting weights. I lift pretty heavy. And the thing that I realized is like my body shape is built for labor. I'm built to be in the mines. I'm not lying to you. On 23andMe, which I just deleted all of my data, yes, by the way, yes. It said that my muscle composition is what you find in elite power athletes.
Is that what miners are?
I guess so.
I thought miners were like tiny because they went down in the hole.
Yeah, and then they got to carry that coal back up.
I guess so. I don't know very much about
my great grandpa was a miner.
Okay, there you go.
And so like I'm built to be picking potatoes, you know, like
people tell me my neck is really long.
You're okay. Her build is like aristocracy. Like she was meant to just be like sitting, telling people what to do. And I was like, yes, I'm here to work. Like
my neck is always sore because my physical therapist is like, wow, you have a really long neck, Amanda.
You have the neck of a swan.
So it has to work really hard.
The
that I also but, on that topic, like definitely I'm like, yeah, there is thin privilege, yes, for sure. Absolutely. That like we have to acknowledge.
For sure. There is like, yeah, the world is built for thinness. Yes. And that is like a complicated layer to this. And we don't like that it is. That's the thing. If someone were to say like, no, the world is like harder on me because I'm bigger, I'd be like, yeah, I hate that. Yeah. I don't like that at all. It's not fair. Yeah. However, what I realized through like my fitness journey, yeah, is like, I am not built to be thin and, yeah, lithe.
We all have different body
types. We all have different body types. And I had to make peace with the fact that I could easily carry coal. Like that's, you know, I mean, I'm making fun of myself, everybody. But yeah, and I think that is what body positivity is about. It's about making peace with yourself while taking care of yourself.
Yes.
There is nothing about body positivity that says you have to stop caring for yourself. Yes. If anything, we are talking about caring for yourself more.
And you also like body, like the goal of body positivity. I mean, I think some people misconstrued the goal of body positivity as well, yeah, but it's like, yeah, it's not even about loving your body. No. Like we went through a weird phase, I feel like, in 2015, where thin girls on the internet were wearing bikinis and hunching over to shoulder rolls,
yeah,
and being,
yeah, yeah,
told they were so brave, yeah, and it was like, yeah, not really. That's... Or someone, right, who is thin, being like, "Look at my tiger scars."
Yeah, yeah,
I won't,
yeah,
name names, but
right, tiger stripes. Yes, that's what they were.
Yes, yes, tiger, yeah, yeah, stripes. Right, which also like wasn't it?
Right,
where it's really like my favorite definition of body positivity is knowing your body is good. It's like body positivity isn't loving your body. It's, mm-hmm, knowing your body is good regardless, mm, of how it looks.
You have meaning and purpose outside of your physical appearance.
Yes.
And to say that doesn't diminish you taking care of yourself. Like I love makeup. I love getting, yeah, dressed up. I love doing those things. I love caring for myself. But I have released the need to say that my pants have to be a certain size, yeah, to dictate my worth.
Yeah.
As you were like going through all of that content, because, yeah, for me it was triggering.
Yeah.
Like I felt like I was going into a dark, yeah, place mentally.
Yeah.
For you, as someone who's in recovery, do you, yeah, feel like you've been in recovery long enough that it didn't impact you as bad, or was it hard to see that?
It's a good question, and I have a weird answer. Please. Normally, yes. Okay, I feel very weird about it, and I have a weird answer because I, as if people have been listening know, like I had a baby 2 years ago, and, mm-hmm, ever since having my baby, like I had a terrible traumatic birth.
Yeah.
Couldn't, like, didn't gain the appropriate amount of weight when I was pregnant, which caused issues with, mm, like my child and stuff like that. I now am like going through so much grief with my mom. Mm. I have not been able to like work out properly because of how much pain I've been in for a while, that I don't have the muscle capacity that I used to have. Yeah. And I don't want to be a thin person. I mean, like I lost too much because, yeah, I don't feel that,
yeah,
way.
Yeah, yeah.
I just am like, how I look right now is like not an emblem of health. Like I am in tons of chronic pain.
Yeah.
I've been in so much physical therapy trying to heal my body since childbirth. I have been grieving my mom. So it's been hard to eat. It's been hard to do any of those things. So I think if I were in a different place, I would have been very triggered by it. Mm. But I feel even more like, oh my God, how someone looks is not a reflection of their health. I think there is this big component sometimes of people, and I saw this theme on Skinny Talk of people being like, I'm so much more comfortable. I'm in so much, mm, less pain. And obviously that is a real thing.
That's a real thing. Yeah.
There are,
yeah,
real,
yeah,
consequences to, you know,
right,
like weight on your physical body.
Yeah.
But I also am like, I'm literally less weight than I have been in a while with little muscle. And I feel worse than I ever have because I, yeah, don't have enough muscle to like support my body. But I like am in so much pain. It's been really hard to, yeah, rebuild it.
Yeah.
So that's one thing that I wish like was talked about more, is we just automatically assume,
yeah,
thinner means more better, physically comfortable and not in pain. And that's, yeah, not true. Or like my mom is going – like it's my mom's about to start chemo. And like,
yeah,
she is thinner than she's ever been in her life. And like, mm, it is not a sign of health. And that is why I'm so passionate about being like, you, like just how someone looks is not a marker. You can't tell how, yeah, healthy someone is. based on how they look.
Right. All of this is just sad.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you and I have lots of personal conversations about your situation and the absolute garbage stuff that you're going through. And now I can't even imagine if someone were to step in and be like, well, but you have to look a certain way too. Like on top of all of that. Like it's exhausting. It's absolutely
And like, lots of people, right? Like I think that's the problem, right? Like this is the norm. Like people go through different things. People cope in different ways. And yeah, like there's nothing wrong with wanting to take care of yourself and wanting to, you know, be healthy and stuff like that. It is, yeah, I think the whole thing we're talking about is it's the shame of especially like thin white women with like thin white pretty women.
Yes.
Who clearly have a lot of privilege, like as we do too, but like yelling at people about, I mean, I think we could go into the individual ones. I mean, a couple of people have said that, like a lot of them are like, I lost 10 pounds or I lost 20 pounds. Some people said they lost more, but I just, yeah, I'm just, I also behind the scenes, I'm like some, you don't know what this is actually, you don't know what's actually going on with them. You don't know if they're actually eating what they're saying. You don't know if they're on GLP-1s. You don't know how much they're really working out. They could doing being like doing way more than just walking. Yeah. And even if we all ate the same, worked out exactly the same, we would all look different. If you and I ate the same and worked out the same, we would look different.
Right. It just makes me so mad that all of this in conjunction with everything else that's going on in the world, we now have to combat the fact that people are yelling at us again that we have to be skinny. For real? For real. Everything that we have going on, you're now telling me on top of that, I have to worry about being quote unquote thin and thin by your standard and living to your standard and you sitting there pontificating to everybody saying that because that worked for you, that's the only thing that could work for everybody else and shaming people for eating and telling them to put down the fork and knock the fork out of your hand and stop doing that. And like, it just makes me mad. And it's just so unfair to women. Like it's just, and I know so many of you who have maybe consumed this content or seen this content and agreed with this content, for you, you're like, yes, like freedom. I'm going to love myself again. Da, 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 da. And going right back to what you said earlier, that is such a tiny part of your life. And if everything else in your life is on fire, it's not going to matter that you're now 15 pounds down. I'm sorry. Like it's, you're going to get that 15 pounds and look around at your life and be like, wow, literally nothing changed except now I'm hungry and I haven't had anything sweet. I have not had a sweet treat in months.
And I'm terrified of gaining weight.
And I'm terrified of gaining weight. And I just so desperately want people, if you are thinking like you're wanting to go on GLP-1s or you're wanting to take a step to take care of yourself differently, include other people in the conversation. Mm-hmm. Like talk about the why. Mm-hmm. And I speak about this with my clients all the time. Why are you wanting to do it? Mm-hmm. Why are you wanting to take this step and do these things? Mm-hmm. What is the value that you're leaning on? If you're doing it because someone on TikTok yelled at you about what you were or were not doing, I'm sorry. That's just not a good enough reason. Yeah. Like, and even me as a therapist, if a client came to me and said, hey, I saw this stuff on Skinny Talk, I would really, really explore that with them. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't come from a place of judgment because I would understand they're being served that content because clearly their FYP understands that they're interested in it.
I mean, if we can get into the – so the person who seems to have started this is someone named Liv Schmidt.
Yeah.
And she was banned from TikTok.
For eating disorder content.
Eating disorder content. And I did a deep dive on her content. She was like in the Washington Post and or the Wall Street Journal and New York Times. And I saw a lot of her. She has a lot of reels on Instagram.
Yeah.
And her stuff is the most toxic of all. I mean, it is – I saw a reel of her talking about – I mean, she's also like extremely thin, extremely beautiful, extremely rich, lives in New York City. And literally there is – it's even worse than shame, I would say, in her videos. It is like contempt. of like, I am so much better than you because of how little I eat. And that is like verbatim some of what her posts say of like her reels are like her like eating, I'm eating the biggest dessert, but I only am eating one bite because like, you know, I know that nothing tastes as good as skinny feels, or I know that I don't actually need to eat that much, or I know these things and you can know them too. And then she has, you know, a subscription that you can join on Instagram. And she shares like, I mean, this is the thing that this, what makes me the most mad is some of them, quite a few of them that I ran into are saying that they healed their eating disorder, or you can heal your eating disorder or your unhealthy relationship with food by being skinny.
No.
Which is
no.
The exact, like that's, that made me lose my mind. Like,
no.
It's one thing to just be open about promoting unhealthy behaviors and disordered eating. It is another to try to trick people. And I think the way we got in here is because people on GLP-1s said they had less food noise being on GLP-1s. And now these creators are trying to say, like, if you lose a ton of weight, you'll have less food noise, which is not true.
No. None of it's true. You're being lied to. They're lying to you. Great, Liv. You
and
like
that's like horrible. Like
you like to punish yourself.
The idea of someone who identifies as, I mean, it's one thing to just be like, I don't like my body or I want to lose weight. It's another to be like, yeah, I have an unhealthy relationship with food. I have an eating disorder.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna go on Liv I mean, like I would have fallen for that hook, line, and sinker because everyone is afraid to get into eating disorder recovery because they're terrified of gaining weight. Yep. So can you imagine if someone sold you who's beautiful, thin, rich, traveling all the world, going to these incredible restaurants and said, I will help you heal your eating disorder and you will get skinnier.
We wanted to share really quickly that we have officially launched a Substack.
It's called Nuance Needed. We got really creative with the title. Yeah, we're just going to be posting all of our behind the scenes stuff there. We're going to have bonus episodes. I'm doing a lot of my longer pep talks on there, at least 2 a month.
Yeah, we already have a pep talk up. We have a bonus episode.
Yeah.
And you also don't have to pay, like you can pay to get that extra content, but we also are excited to just create community with you all. And we've gotten into really cool discussions with listeners based on what they think. So we'd love to chat with you more.
Yeah, we know people are really lonely right now. And, you know, something that we really have always, Amanda and I have both always dreamed about doing is having more of a community of like-minded people. Where we can chat about things in depth and really get curious about what things mean and how we can apply it to ourselves individually. And that is really what we want our Substack to be. And us sharing the information and the tools and the insights that you guys need in order to be able to have those more nuanced, educated conversations.
Absolutely. So join us at nuanceneeded.substack.com and we'd love to see you there.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
And that's why we wanted to come on here and talk about this because it's dark and it's uncomfortable. So and we were angry.
Yeah.
I think we've thrown across what the fuck in all caps like 50 different times in our text thread. Mm-hmm. Because it's so dangerous. And I think if you get through all of like the sadness too, mm-hmm. there's like a rage there that this is going to cause harm This is actively harming women right now. There are women who are now developing disordered eating because they have consumed this type of content.
Or they have eating disorders, yes, and they're going deeper and going to then – it's like I think about all the insane diets I used to be. And I said I would be – I would fall for this hook, line, and sinker because I tried to cure my eating disorder through healthy eating and doing other things.
Like,
there was a woman named Natalia, I remember, who had written these books about clean eating and I remember like food combinations. It was a really weird thing.
Oh, my God. I remember that.
Like, yeah, in like 2008. Yeah, it was like food combining was bad.
Oh, God.
So I kept going on these crazy, you know, juicing and food combining. And I don't know if you remember, like, she used to say the most insane things looking back that, like, you can't – you can only eat fruit on an empty stomach. Because you wanted everything to like pass through.
Oh God, these are the same. These are the same people that tell you fruit has too much sugar.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's just rebranded. And yeah, like I was upset. Like I would do these extreme diets. Like I remember, like one of the lowest points of my life was I was in Costa Rica with my family, like refusing to go out to dinner with them or doing anything because I could only eat like. Fruits and vegetables, and I had to find a way to get a fresh squeezed green juice in every day. And like, then I would not be able to maintain it. So I would like raid the snack bar. And good Lord, my dad hated the upmark of
the mini bar.
So we would get into these huge fights because I would be eating the entire snack bar while refusing to go out to dinner with them, which is very like anger. You know, I get their anger that like I won't go out
to
dinner.
They're like, why can't you just eat at the restaurant?
Right. But instead, I won't eat at the restaurant because I have to be clean eating. But then I'm eating all of the mini bar. And that – I went on that whole tangent because someone like Liv would have been so alluring to me. And I really was convinced for a long time that – it wasn't that I had an unhealthy relationship with food. It was that food was addictive. Food was killing me. Food was the problem. I had to just cut out enough things. And it wasn't until I found intuitive eating and health at every size and I actually went into a real recovery program and I realized that it wasn't even food that was a problem. It was my obsession with trying to control my food, body weight, and shape.
It's all control.
Yeah.
It is all control.
Yeah.
And even – you were like, in a lot of ways, you were like trying to control your family at the same time.
Yes. Yeah.
Trying to say like, well, we can't eat there and we can't eat this time. Yeah. And we can't do this. And it has to be like this because I have to be in control of this.
Yeah.
I, in my research with this, I also stumbled across Remy Bader.
Yeah.
Now, Remy Bader for the longest time was a plus size content creator. And, she has become very controversial because she has lost a significant amount of weight.
Yeah.
And it's been very obvious that she was losing a lot of weight for a long time.
Yeah.
And people were commenting and saying, you have to be doing GLP-1s. Like, are you doing GLP-1s? Are you on Ozempic? Are you on Wegovy? What are you doing? And anytime somebody would bring that up in the comments, they would get blocked. Mm-hmm. And now she has very recently done a podcast interview, which I've only seen clips of. I haven't seen the whole thing. And this episode isn't to do a deep dive on that. It's just to kind of use it as an anecdote that I've seen a lot of videos from people who are in the plus size community who are feeling incredibly abandoned and disappointed and very frustrated that they feel they are being used as like pawns for people to get ahead.
Yeah.
And then once people obtain that fame off of their backs, off of advertising to them, off of trying to speak to them and offer them quote unquote like protection and advocacy, they then lose weight the second they get the power.
Yeah.
And then she goes on Khloe Kardashian's podcast, which is the podcast I was alluding to, and starts announcing that she in fact did do GLP-1s.
No, she had an extreme weight loss surgery.
That's right. Yeah, she had bariatric surgery.
Yeah,
that's
but it was
right.
like the most extreme kind of bariatric surgery. Yeah. And she had horrible like adverse effects to it. She like lost a lot of her – like way more of her stomach than normal bariatric surgery.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Thank you for correcting me on that. But she, so basically she came out and said, yes, I did do this type of assisted thing that allowed me to like lose more weight. And so all these people are like, why didn't you just say? But then it becomes this weird thing where like we're all like secretive about it. But then skinny talk is just now like out in the open with the same level of shame. Yeah. And it's all just confusing and it's all unsettling and it's all frustrating because a lot of what this boils down to in my mind is that we have now assumed that everybody's opinion is fact. Mm-hmm. So many people can share so many opinions all at the same time and we end up in an echo chamber because of our FYPs. And now we just assume that everybody's saying everything is correct because I'm seeing it on my FYP.
Yeah, I think the Remy Bader stuff is a really nuanced, complicated
really nuanced, yeah.
And I don't even know how I feel about it. I kind of am of the camp of like I reserve people – like plus size people.
Yes.
And people who loved her and people who followed her to really have an opinion about it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think like people do have a right to – like all of our bodies change, right? I think people have a right to change their body.
Yes.
I think they have a right to not talk about it. I think it's what you said that's so complicated about this situation specifically of I mean, whatever. You also don't have a right to tell anyone that you're like losing weight.
Exactly.
Or
yeah.
That. I think it is – it's – for me, I think it's also she did this huge article now with it. And it sounds like – I mean, it sounds like the recovery was horrible. It sounds like she truly – like I'm concerned – like it sounds like
– she suffered.
She like, suffered a lot before and after.
Yes.
So I don't know. I'm not her doctor. We don't know.
We don't know the story.
Like this she may have needed to do this.
For sure.
I don't know.
And I am in no way trying to say like I speak on behalf of the plus size community. Like no. And if you're listening to this and you're in the plus size community, please know like I defer to you for direction on this conversation. I am just speaking on the anecdote that I think it addresses in this larger issue of the resurgence of skinny talk in an example of someone who was a part of the plus size community and very proud of that fact
and
for a long time.
And was a plus size model.
Yes.
Like
plus size
she's
model.
She's not a plus size model anymore. She's a regular model
now. And she was like the plus size representative at Victoria's Secret.
Yeah.
And then now losing this weight. And so I think.
And coupled with going on Khloe Kardashian.
Yes. Yeah.
Who are notoriously the most, right, like anti-body, you know. Yeah. Like,
body examples.
Yeah.
So I think. What an example of Remy Bader. And I know Lizzo is getting some pushback because she has lost a significant amount of weight as well. Hers, I think she hasn't said yay or nay if she did use GLP-1s. I know she posts a lot about her workouts.
Yeah.
She has been working out consistently. And again, like you get to change your body. You get to do whatever you want to do. Yeah. But I think it is this larger discussion that we are seeing now again around size.
And I think in Lizzo's defense, like Lizzo didn't create content. Like Lizzo, Lizzo was an artist. She was a singer. Like, yes, I think a lot of people were inspired by her.
By her size.
But she didn't ever say like,
no,
I don't think she's, I mean, I could be wrong, but I don't think she's ever been like, I am an advocate.
No, she's been big on like body positivity.
Right.
And when
you can say that about anyone's body.
Anyone's body. Yeah. I think and again, like we wanted to get into this conversation because it is so flippant nuanced.
Yeah.
And there are so many layers to this. And if Remy felt that's what she needed to do, that is wonderful. If Lizzo felt that's what she needed to do, that's wonderful. If you feel this is what you need to do, go for it.
Yeah. No, I think we're critiquing the culture.
We're critiquing.
Not the people. And
yes.
I think we're using these specific people as examples of the culture.
Yeah.
So maybe that's like the distinction. Because I don't have I think everyone should do whatever they want. I believe in body autonomy completely.
Yep.
And I think we're also talking about like, unfortunately, these bigger political, like I'm concerned about the
political movements.
Yeah. Of how this is like potentially likely connected to this resurgence of like.
Tradwife.
Yeah. Like women in the, we're excited. We have Joe Piazza coming on soon to, who's like a trad wife expert to talk about this more. But of this, you know, even I think in the quiet luxury.
Yeah, the
soft girl and all of that.
Soft girl and old money and like all of these very like conservative rooted trends.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think what I just feel sad for is like I think back to like summer of 2023.
Yeah.
and Eras is huge, and Renaissance Tour is huge, yeah. and the Barbie movie, and yeah. all of this messaging around women just getting to experience joy, and like joy that isn't tied to anything, like yeah. joy that was just joy for the sake of joy, yeah. and this idea of empowerment in your own choices and empowerment in your decisions. And we were a year after Roe had fallen. And yeah. I think people were really trying to come together to figure out what to do yeah. and how to advocate for repro rights. And we haven't done that very well, and we're still working on it. But now there's just kind of all of this insidious messaging
yeah.
that is coming through in all of this of there are now very small pigeonholed ways to be again. Mm-hmm. And I just want to advocate for that is not true.
Yeah.
There are a million different ways to live a good, fulfilled life.
Yeah.
And if for you that includes loving and embracing your body exactly as it is and changing nothing, great.
Yeah.
If for you that means taking care of yourself in a different way and prioritizing eating and fitness and health, great.
Yeah.
But to not let somebody on social media yell at you and shame you into thinking that that is the only way you can do something
yeah.
or that for anybody to be doing something different means they're bad, wrong, not good enough, not mainstream enough. And it's just so like, guys, like we lived through the early 2000s. Like my – a very like kind of off-the-cuff example, but my hair
mm-hmm. –
my hair was not it in 2004, like not it at all. And something that I'm really grateful for is like I would beg my mom because I grew up in New York. I was an hour north of New York and I would beg my mom to take me into New York City so I could get a specialty hair straightening treatment that some of my
keratin.
Friends would get. Yeah. In like 2004, 2005, I would be like, please, can we go into the city? I would be like, it's only $600. And my mom yeah. would be like, no.
Yeah.
And she forced me to like figure out how to work with my hair.
Mm-hmm.
And I hated it because nobody had hair like mine. I had this huge fro. I was walking around school. There was someone that in the hallway like pulled a curl and said, ew. Like it was just, it was hard. Like yeah. you felt like you stood out. You don't want to stand out.
Yeah.
And now like as I got older, it is like the defining feature of me. And people feel weird and uncomfortable when my hair is straight. They don't know what to do. They're like, ugh. Like, and I kind of feel the same. Like, even when I go get my hair done, my hairdresser's always like, well, do you want to curly or straight? And I say curly every time. One, because I don't want to sit there for the blowout. But, like, I think I share that to say to learn how to, like, love and embrace and accept yourself is so much more than saying I have to love myself fat.
Yeah.
It's not that.
Mm-hmm.
It's much more about accepting yourself as a global person.
Which includes your personality.
Yes. Liking yourself at multiple levels. And I'm sorry, if you are the one that is constantly talking about what you're putting in your mouth, you're annoying. If you are constantly judging what everybody around you is eating and you're making comments about it and you're the one that doesn't want to go to the certain restaurant because of this, that, and the other thing, and you can never give a specific reason why, or you're not willing to be flexible with the group, like, I'm sorry, you're the annoying one. And that is a moment that you can use to be reflective of like, if I'm being the problem right now, what does that really mean? And there's so much nuance to this. And I think this conversation is feeling like messy and all over the place because it is really messy. But I also think it's like a very important conversation for two therapists to be having and kind of exposing the complexity of it.
People are feeling, you know, There is this backlash to DEI. There's this yeah. backlash to, right, like any of these.
Body positivity.
Yeah, these ideas. Yeah. And like that's fine if you feel like you've been letting yourself off the hook or you feel like you
yeah.
know, things have been too precious yeah, or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
yeah.
that's fine. Like we all do need sometimes like more structure
yep. Yep.
in our life. But I also – it is also maddening to be like somehow – like. I've never seen anything so clear, and maybe, you know, like other people who are older than us can laugh at us and be mm-hmm. like, obviously this is how culture works, but it is truly like watching a ping pong of yeah. like you know, fat shaming, body positivity, back to fat shit. Like, it's just insane how everything is a backlash to a backlash.
Yeah.
So we never make progress because no one comes up with a unique idea. We're just backlashing to the backlash. So we just keep going all or nothing, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth.
Yeah. And we're just all caught in the middle.
Yeah.
Like, not having the tools to actually change. And I do think, I feel like that's part of what we want to do with this podcast, though, is to start like introducing real conversations around this stuff and to allow for it to just be, because like it is complicated and there's really nasty parts of skinny talk.
Yeah.
There's really nasty, shame-filled, not helpful, eating disorder embracing elements of skinny talk.
Yeah.
And yet there is truth to eating well, moving your body, prioritizing your health, going to the doctor, taking the meds that you need.
Going outside, getting dressed.
Getting in the sun.
Yeah.
And
making your bed.
Yes. Cleaning your home. Yeah. Keeping up on your dishes. Keeping up on the laundry. Like, there is truth to that. But you have to understand, like, the underlying principle of why you should do that thing.
Yeah.
If it is just continually built on shame.
Yeah.
It's never going to be enough.
Never.
It's never – you could have the most spotless house in the world. And if you hate something about your inner world, it will never be enough.
Yep.
It won't be clean enough. If it's just – all of this is about when you are seeing all of this information pelted at you and you start to see that there is something related to a trend, which anytime you see a body – being turned into a trend, please run.
Yes.
Please run so fast, so far. There's flames coming out of your tush. Like, that is the biggest warning sign. Like, now, did you see gaps in teeth? What?
Can I talk about teeth for a second?
Please, because I know you hate teeth.
I don't hate teeth. I'm terrified of my teeth falling out.
Oh, big difference.
I am so scared of it. It is my biggest fear. Whenever I choose something slightly weird, I think that my teeth have fallen out.
Oh, Lord.
But I mean, I think that's tied to being bulimic and like
valid.
Having, you know,
they almost did fall out.
Structurally unsound teeth.
Ooh.
But anyway.
Ooh. About teeth.
Yeah. So, well, it's, I mean, there was a cut article, I think a couple months ago, about like the rise of veneers and stuff like that, and how more people than ever are getting veneers. Mm-hmm. Obviously, like, we know every celebrity that exists pretty much has veneers.
Yeah.
I think veneers look great every day. Not every day, but some days I'm like, if I ever make it, I'll have veneers.
If she comes in and you can see her reflection, your reflection in her teeth.
Yeah.
You'll know what's happening.
Yeah, you'll live in England and I'll have veneers.
There we go. There we go.
It was a terrifying article in the Atlantic or in the Cut about these people traveling to other countries.
Oh, Lord.
To get less expensive veneer surgeries. And it will keep you up at night. The people that have done this, they spent
thousands of
dollars. Yeah, I mean, they spent $10,000 instead of $20,000 or whatever.
And their teeth are like, destroyed. Well,
the problem with veneers, as you probably know, is like you have to file down your little teeth.
So the veneer is falling off.
Yes. Or some of them are so bad they can't even keep the veneers on them. They have to they have to wear dentures now. It's horrible. So,
oh my God.
But that is such a clear example, right? Of like we're destroying our own teeth to get teeth that we can't afford. So we're going to get a, you know.
Well, it's the same people that used to cross the border to get like breast implants for like $10. Yes,
exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And then people are like dying from it. And, or, I mean, with BBLs and stuff like that back in the day. And do you follow, her name is Jessica Delfino on Substack.
No.
She has a Substack called The Review of Beauty by Jessica Delfino. Mm-hmm. You should subscribe to it. It's incredible. She really dissects all of this from like this big culture lens and just is constantly talking about when we turn bodies into trends, right? How problematic it is and just how like insane this culture is and how a lot of times what we think is progress is just a different trend
yeah,
of culture, essentially, right, in beauty. Yeah.
That's really discouraging.
Yeah, sorry.
No, but it's important though, because it speaks to what exactly what you were saying of like, we just kind of like go back and forth. But it made me think of,
so people are like, people now may go get surgery and get a gap put in their teeth. Like, and then they're going to, right? Like,
don't do that. Okay. If you're listening to this, don't do that. Don't go get veneers. Okay. Don't.
I hope I scared you out of getting veneers.
Stop it. Don't do that.
Taylor Swift has great veneers.
She has fantastic veneers.
But people
veneers.
Don't think they're that great, but I think they're great.
Well, because she had $100,000 mm-hmm. to go throw at the best oral surgeon in the world.
Yeah, and probably gets the – you have to also get them redone every – yes.
Yeah, there's maintenance work.
10 years, 5 years. Yeah. It's a lot.
Yeah.
And they're permanent. That is a tax you will have to pay.
Literally.
For the rest of your life.
Oh, it's just – yeah, just – if there's a trend that involves the body, just run away.
Yeah.
Just don't listen to it. And you decide what you want to do for you.
Yeah.
Put down the phone. If you find yourself being influenced by something,
yeah.
that is not necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah.
Yet also, you are allowed to pause and decide whether or not that is something you want to actually be influenced by.
Yeah.
And something one of the people that I do follow – yeah. quite often. Yeah. And one of the very few YouTubers that I actually watch is Lydia Millen. And
is she the one that lives in an English cottage?
Yes. Her life is perfect. But she has been undergoing like a pretty cool transformation. She used to be very much like in the luxury space, and she still kind of is, but she's selling all of her luxury bags. Mm-hmm. She's like no longer going to engage with that, which that was like a pretty interesting conversation. But something that she said about her content is she says, I don't aim to influence. I have decided I aim to inspire.
I love that.
And I really like that. And that is something that I have really taken to heart in how I now create content mm-hmm. the last couple of weeks since I heard her say that is you should be inspired and uplifted by something. And I don't mean that in like a corny way. Mm-hmm. But if you see someone peddling their goods mm-hmm. on social media – I think the line should be, do you leave feeling better? Mm-hmm. Meaning like, did you see the content and you either felt neutral or you felt better? And I'm not talking about-
I was going to say, what do we do being, about politics?
Well, look, I can only help with so much, okay? I'm trying. But if you, when I say like feel better, I don't mean, oh my God, yeah, they're right. Like I have to change that. It's not about being motivated to now have to change, mm-hmm. okay? Because motivation is fleeting, mm-hmm. and we know this because we've spoken about it. Mm-hmm. But if it leaves you feeling like, wow, that would be like a really helpful thing for me to implement in my life, that is an indicator that that's something that feels authentic to your values. Mm-hmm. If there is something that you are now feeling panicked because you see it and you realize you're not doing it, mm-hmm. that is an indication that you should pause and do some reflection mm-hmm. before you decide to implement that thing. Mm-hmm. And so I really like this idea of the difference between influenced and inspired mm-hmm. because those are two very different motivations, mm-hmm. I think.
It's just so frustrating because some of the things on the surface are good or okay yeah. or neutral.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
But then they say things like you don't have a relationship with food. Right? Food yeah. is an inanimate object. Or if you lose weight, I promise you,
your whole life will be fixed.
Yeah. Or you will not have an unhealthy, like you will not be worried about your body. You mm-hmm. won't have any food noise.
Right.
And that is just so, or they literally will just like prance around and be like, look how great I look. Look how great I look. Like you can be this great too. Like this. Ever since I did this, my life is totally different. And
it's so gross.
I'm sorry, but like, that's just not true. They may feel this way temporarily, but yeah. we see such a small sliver of their life. And yeah. this stuff is getting tons of views. It's really becoming popular. And if you yeah. look back at some of their content, some of them didn't start out this way.
No.
And then they saw this meteoric rise.
Yep.
And now this is what they're doing. So like their incentive is not to be honest.
Right. It's a disaster out there,
yeah,
folks.
Yeah, I just really, yeah, I didn't think I would live to see the day so quickly at least. Thank you so much for listening.
Thanks for listening.
if you listen to this far. Sam and I, we also, just as like a clarification too, we don't do like a strict outline because we really like to model that we're discovering it with you. And we like to model the nuance in the moment. So if our episodes ever don't feel super
like neat.
Yeah.
It's because there is like an organic feel to it. And maybe we'll get better at that as we continue to podcast. We're growing here. And speaking of which, if you do like us, if you do enjoy this, there's a couple things. Number one, we have a Substack where we add even more nuance and insight to all these things and a bunch of other little goodies that we like to post there pretty consistently. And there's a lot of really good
bonus
content.
Episodes, pep talks.
Yep. All of it is there. We have lots of ideas for what we would like to do in that space. So if you're on Substack, go subscribe. It'd mean a lot. Also, if you could just rate, review, subscribe, share, anything that you can do to get the word out, that would really help us grow.
Yeah. So. We know that nuance is not the most
popular
or and sexy. We will never be like that. But because of that, it's more important that we need your help to listen, to share with your friends if you like the show.
Yeah.
To subscribe.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, guys.
We'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
Has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.